Okay, well, today we're going to continue our series on the Ten Commandments, and our next one is number 5, to honor your father and mother. Exodus 20:12 says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." I thought about the various Christian sermons and writings that I've been exposed to all my years, and I realized that many, many times I'd heard that this command is the first command with promise. And I started thinking about that. And then I ran across this scripture in Ephesians. That this is where that comes from. Ephesians 6, verses 2 through 3 says, "Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." Now, Paul was the writer of Ephesians, and he was obviously trying to make a point here. But it seems to me that he misses the mark. Because in my Bible, in both places where the law is given, what we call the Ten Commandments, there are two promises prior to this one, very plainly. We covered them both, and sure, this is the first one with a positive promise. But last week we saw clearly that Yahweh promised not to hold him guiltless who takes on his name and does it in vain. Before that, he promised to visit the iniquity of the fathers to the third and fourth generations to those that hate him. But I guess those are kind of a judgment thing, and with Pauline Christianity, we tend to emphasize the grace portion only, so I guess it's reasonable just to skip over those and start with the positive ones. After all, we wouldn't want to count those scary promises as promises and remind us that we actually have a role to play in this and that there are some consequences to our actions. But anyway, whether the promise is the first promise or not, we see in the fifth commandment that there is a promise there. And it is a pivotal promise at that. Pivotal means both to act as a pivot and to describe something of crucial importance. And today, we're going to see why it is that honoring your father and mother is of crucial importance. That it is indeed pivotal to our society, to our longevity, to our walk with Yahweh, and the establishment of the kingdom of God. Yeshua taught that there are two great commandments upon which hang all the law. In Matthew chapter 22, he said this, starting in verse 37. Yeshua said to him, "You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now some would say that the law is done away, that this is the new law. This was what was replaced. This would replace the other law. But that's not what he said, let alone what he meant by combining this with the other things that he said, that not one jot or tittle would pass away. What he said here is that on these two statements, the law hangs. Now think about a hanger for a moment. Does a hanger replace the clothes? The clothes hang on the hanger. It is support for the clothes. When you get a hanger, do you throw the clothes away? If you throw the clothes away, you no longer need the hanger. So these statements are a summation or a foundation of the law. And the very word that this word hang is translated from supports that, because the word means to sum up or to suspend. So we see here that Yeshua was teaching that the law has two great precepts that form the foundation, or sum up, as the word means, the law. He wasn't replacing the law with these two. Rather, he's saying that the law is held up or suspended by these two great precepts or divisions of the law. And we see that clearly as we walk through the law, which we've been doing. Okay? Matthew 22 has, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? We see that the first four commandments has to do with how we go about loving Yahweh with all our heart, soul, and mind. We begin by recognizing His greatness and sovereignty as Creator. We don't put anything ahead of Him. We don't worship anything but Him, anything or anyone else but Yahweh. We take our relationship with Him seriously, not taking unto ourselves His name and then doing it in vain by disobeying Him, okay? And we keep our appointments with Him, like we're doing right now on His Sabbath, and like we do throughout the year on His holy days. Those commands show us how we are to love Yahweh, okay? Verse 4. The last five teach us how to love our neighbor. And we're going to cover those in the next several weeks, but we know we're not to murder, lie, steal, covet, those things. Yeshua summed those commandments up by saying, we love your neighbor as yourself. If you do those, you will keep those last five. So the last five commands are how to love your neighbor. But now setting in between these two sets of commands is the pivotal command that we're going to look at today, to honor your father and mother. It's pivotal because it directly affects both sides of this division of the law. And it is no doubt why Yahweh put this command where He did, right in the middle of transitioning from how to love Him to how to love your neighbor. Because this command applies to both sides of this great royal law. We could say that the first four plus number five. So the first five teaches us how to love God. We could also say that the last six, not five, teach us how to love our neighbor, thereby counting number five into both sections because it is pivotal. So today I have a few what I'm going to call pivot points for you. As I said, honoring your father and mother speaks to both loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind and loving your neighbor as yourself. Pivot point number one has to do with the loving God side of this equation. So what does honoring your father and mother have to do with loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind? Pivot point number one has to do with the type and the anti-type, or the duality of this commandment. As Yahweh transitioned in His law from explaining how to have relationship with Him to how to have relationship with each other, He laid down a building block for us, for society, for people to learn respect and obedience and discipline as a child. This is the type anti-type thing. Properly done, the parents act as a type of God to their children. They must learn to respect and obey their parents as Yahweh then becomes the anti-type later on. We learn to obey our parents as children during childhood so that we can obey and properly respect Yahweh as adults and beyond. When He says, honor your father and mother, it's in duality. For he knows that he created the family unit to learn these lessons with a physical father and a physical mother, so that when he reveals himself as the creator father later, that discipline and those skill sets of obedience and respect will carry over to a more mature relationship with Yahweh. Young children and infants who are properly trained usually regard their parents, especially small children, with a sense of awe, almost godlike. Children who are properly trained will esteem their parents and will be compliant. The fifth commandment emphasizes this frame of mind, an attitude of reverence and humility that is often seen in a small child towards their parents. And if it's born then, if it's instilled in them then, it will usually continue for life. So that they, when they are called of God, that those attitudes of reverence and respect will automatically be transferred over to Yahweh. And the converted individual will then have no problem submitting to and obeying the law that Yahweh sets down for the kingdom of God. Because he or she will already be trained in obedience and respect to authority. So that's why the fifth commandment is the link, the pivot point, to learn obedience and respect to parents so that that can be translated and transferred over to prepare them for a proper relationship with God. It is an awesome responsibility on the part of parents to teach their children to properly honor and respect them. The Bible tells us in Leviticus 19, verse 3, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Parents are to make certain that their children revere, have reverence and respect for their parents, because it is essential that they learn this as a type of the relationship that they are later to have with their heavenly parent, Yahweh the Father. This must be established at an early age, and every effort must be made to ensure that it happens. Some kids think that you're on a power trip or something, but that's not the case. What a parent is teaching is fundamental to eternal life. They must learn to esteem those that are in authority over them. So you see how this blends the two great commands together? Our earthly parents are also our neighbor. We learn to love them, to respect them, and honor them, and that process teaches us how to also love Yahweh with all our heart, soul, and mind. It teaches us the lessons of how to be obedient so that when we're called, the skills of being in submission to a higher authority are already there. They're not foreign. It's not some foreign concept. This command truly bridges the gap and has its application to both sides of the foundational precepts of the law. Which brings us to pivot point number two. Obedience must be instilled in our children. While obedience to one's parents should last throughout childhood, obedience to God should last a lifetime, an eternal lifetime. Obedience to parents is the type. Obedience to God is the antitype. It is the solemn duty of a parent to prepare a child for that transition. In our society, our kids just want to leave the house or get out on their own so that they don't have anybody telling them what to do. Well, that's poppycock. Because if properly trained, they'll know that they will never, ever not have somebody telling them what to do. That they will always be under some sort of authority and always under the ultimate authority of Yahweh. of our Creator God. They should be transitioned from living under their parents' rules and being obedient to them, and transition over a natural transition, an easy transition, if prepared properly, to living under Yahweh's rules and being obedient to His law. And if the parenting is being done right, there should be a lot of overlap to that. Because let me tell you, if you fail as a parent in the first part, you set your children up to fail in the second part. The fundamentals of obedience learned as a child make learning to be obedient to God a much easier transition. Discipline by the hand of a loving parent is necessary. It's a part of childhood. To keep it from them is probably one of the highest forms of child abuse. Why? Because it brings on them severe and awful consequences later in life. Remember, discipline by the hand of God is very much a part of the conversion experience, and Yahweh will not withhold it, and it will be as severe as it needs to be, because He is a loving parent. Okay? So, and to illustrate this, in Hebrews chapter 12, we read this: "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with a son. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But He, for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening seems joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness who have been trained by it." Parents have a duty to make sure that their children learn this lesson of honor and respect. Children must be taught to heed every instruction, every command that comes from their parents. Why? To train them. Discipline and chastisement must not be held back when infractions occur. To not demand this and train the children to this level will bring extreme hardships on them later. We see that all through our society. That's why I say it's one of the worst forms of child abuse, because it leaves the child without a fundamental understanding and skill set that will have to be learned later in life the hard way. It has much deeper ramifications than just making the mind. It is truly essential to their development. This is why when raising children, you set rules appropriate to their age, and then you must follow through and make sure they're obeyed for their good, for their training. They can't get that example that it's okay to, we'll just ignore that rule this time. You see? And you have to pick your battles, because as a parent, anything that you say must be complied with. Don't say it unless you're ready to enforce it. There shouldn't be discussion. A child must learn that when the authority speaks, they are to comply. Period. No arguing, No ignoring the instruction, no pretending they didn't hear, or deciding when they feel like complying. An instruction that comes from the mouth of a parent, no matter how trivial, must be seen as a child as something that must be complied with and addressed immediately without question. Why? For a power trip? No, because you are training this person in how they are to respond to Yeshua and Yahweh. You are serving as a type of God. A type, anti-type. Not saying that parents are gods. I'm saying that you're representing how the relationship is to occur with God. You're training them how to respond to Him. And Proverbs 29, verse 15 says, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother, to his father." When talking about this fifth commandment, it cannot be emphasized enough how critical it is to teach this honoring to children at the earliest possible age. A child that ignores a command from a parent or argues about it is displaying something extremely dangerous, for they are learning and being allowed to practice rebellion, which is exactly what Lucifer did. And exactly what occurred in the garden when we first ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and continue to do so. This command is in the law to eradicate that behavior. It is the job of parents to teach children discipline and respect for authority so that the skill set is there, so that it can be transitioned to Yahweh. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it." If a child learns obedience, respect, and discipline with his parents, he will, she will not depart from it when called of God. And they will have that in their walk with Yahweh. Conversely, if they're allowed to ignore rules, ignore instructions, back talk and argue, and disrespect their parents, they will no doubt try and do the same thing with Yahweh. And that's not going to go well. Bottom line is, a right relationship with God begins with learning obedience as a child. Disobedience, disrespect, and any lack of discipline on a part of a child cannot be tolerated for their own good. Hence the biblical admonition, spare the rod, spoil the child. Right? All right, let's move on. Point number three. Honoring parents does not stop at childhood. Okay? We've seen that obedience to parents is essential for children. The scriptures pertaining to obedience in children are plentiful. Scriptures like Colossians 3:20 that says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." There's a host of proverbs about it. But you'll notice that these admonitions of obedience are to children. There are seasons to life. As discussed, we are to obey our parents as children to prepare us for our relationship with our Heavenly Father. There is a transition from obeying the rules of the household to a larger responsibility of obeying the rules of the kingdom of God. With godly parents, there should be lots of overlap. But still, the time comes when children become adults. And obedience to Yahweh becomes their responsibility. So as adults, our responsibility to obey our parents fades. It goes away. It transitions over to obeying Yahweh, our Creator, which is decidedly a much more difficult and much higher calling than the other one. But hopefully you're prepared for that. But the Bible is still clear that we are still to honor our parents and respect them. So the obedience part may fade, but the honor doesn't go away. Okay? In a healthy relationship, it kind of looks like this. You know, obviously my oldest child, Crystalline, okay? She's an adult now, right? So she's been introduced to her Creator. She's engaging now in that process of life. We've transitioned her. I don't give her orders anymore, okay? I don't do that. I don't give you orders anymore, right? What I do is I give advice if it's asked for, okay? She has a higher power to answer to. She has to take that advice from her mother, and then apply that towards the law of God. But I'm still her dad, okay? Still your dad. You have to make those decisions, but there's no obligation, I guess, you know, I'm not going to say do this, right? We're going to have our children's back as nobody else would. In Proverbs 19, verse 26, it says, "He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach." Proverbs 23, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." There is wisdom in years. There is wisdom in parents. There are things that we have experienced that you have not. There is advice and there is guidance. And it may not be commands anymore, but the Bible is very clear that we are to give honor to our parents all through our days. Okay? When we go into adulthood, we're to treat our parents with the respect and gratitude that they are due. They bore us. They raised us, and we owe them appreciation for that and the respect that they are due for how they served us. So while the obeying part ends with childhood, the honoring and respecting part applies as long as we live. Now, there are those in this room that have had the opportunity to enjoy these relationships as Yahweh intended them. Unfortunately, there are some in this room and some that will hear this that have not. To those in that situation, I have a few things to say before we move on. Number one, you're an adult. The obey part is over. You're not a child anymore. Therefore, the obey part is over. Doesn't mean you have to be belligerent, but just because a parent says something doesn't mean it's righteous. And you have the right and also the responsibility to apply God's law, principles, and precepts over and above whatever your parents are saying. Disobeying them at this point is not breaking this command. That doesn't mean you can disobey Yahweh. It just means that if they're telling you something that is not righteous guidance, you can ignore it with complete purity of conscience as you give precedence over God. Number two, you don't have to honor their sinful actions. We are commanded to honor our parents, and as small children, we many times see our parents as these awesome, incredible, can-do-anything people. As we get older and older and into adulthood, we see that they're not perfect. None of us are. We sin. And while we are to honor our parents, we are not to give honor to their sin. Okay? Which brings me to point number three. Respect for the office is commanded, but the level of respect for the person in that office is earned. We have this saying that seems to sum up the example of Yeshua while he walked in this earth, and we have this little saying that says, we love the sinner but hate the sin. You know, love the sinner but hate the sin. That applies here. There's no difference here with the relationship of an adult and their parents. While we can accept the fact that we must honor the office of a parent, the level of respect that we give that person in that office has everything to do with the amount of respect due them. In other words, there's a certain amount of respect we would give parents just because they're our parents. As an example, I think of the office of the President of the United States. I have a duty as a citizen to honor that office. I either honor that office or I renounce my citizenship, one or the other. Okay? So, you know, actually some states are trying to do that right now, but that's another story. However, as I see the president behave and make decisions that are contrary to the Constitution that he put his hand on a Bible and swore to uphold, my respect and honor for the man in that office is gone. I don't even have a little. I have none, because I see what it is that he's doing. I respect the office. I don't respect the man. Okay, so there's a certain level of honor given to parents just for the office that they hold. For instance, no matter how horrible they are, for example, the Bible tells us not to curse our parents or strike them. For everyone who curses his father or mother shall be put to death. He has cursed his father or mother, his blood shall be upon him. Exodus 21, and he who strikes his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. So, there's a certain level of respect that just goes with the office of parenthood. We don't curse them. We don't strike them. We shouldn't do this to anyone, granted. But the Bible is making special note of making sure that there is a line that we just don't cross, no matter how horrible our parents might be. So we are to acknowledge the office, but if the person occupying that office has defiled the office and failed to meet their obligations, then our responsibility to honor their work is not there. There's levels to all of this, and it's very difficult to navigate shades of gray caused from sin that Yahweh never intended. So, in terms of scale, think about, you know, one side you've got a parent that did their job, that raised their child in the fear and admonition of the Lord. They deserve not only the respect of the office, but also the gratitude, honor, and respect for the service that they provided to their children. On the other side, maybe there's a parent that completely abandoned their child with malice, with no provision. Now, I'm not talking here about adoption. Many times adoption is done out of genuine love to give a child a better life. I'm talking about abandonment. Or maybe even worse, they didn't abandon child, but they abused it sexually, physically, verbally, whatever. Does this person deserve the respect due to a parent when clearly the parenting wasn't done? No. If you're going to give honor to a parent, they must be a parent. Okay. Is President Obama president of the United States? Yes. Is he serving us? No. There's no service to us. That's the difference. There is honor and respect due the office, but nothing more. Okay? In that situation. So again, respect for the office is commanded, but the level of respect for the person is earned. But point number four, you're not responsible for the consequences of your parents' sins. This is a big one. You see, when parents sin, they bring consequences into their lives of that sin. And when these sins occur during child rearing, the children suffer right along with the parents. And upon adulthood, though, you are no longer bound to suffer the consequences of your parents' sin. The fact is, we should be looking at the mistakes of our parents and striving to break the generational curses that flow from parents to children and to their children and their children's children. In this case, I'd like to honor Sherilyn at this point and just say how proud I am of her, because she endeavored and worked at making sure that the issues and the generational curses that could have been passed on to our children did not happen. She was determined to break them. Is she perfect? Are any of us? But her focus and the effort that she expended has been mighty, and God's blessed it. I think one of the last things that has to be dealt with is the guilt which she has erroneously put on herself, as she still sees the sin consequences of her parents and her family and what they have to deal with, and takes that guilt on herself. So to her and any others that sit in that position, I say clearly to you that the sins of your parents are not yours, that the consequences of those sins are not yours, and you should carry no guilt separating yourself from them. They're not yours to own. Okay, we're going to continue on our last pivot point, number four. Honoring parents is the foundation of the family and the backbone of society. The family and the home is the heart and core of a nation. How nations finally turn out depends upon the family unit, because a nation is just a collection of families. A family simply does not function correctly if the command to honor the father and mother is not kept. If children are rebellious and that rebellion is not squelched by the parents, or if the parents are not honorable to start with, then the family breaks down. And when enough families break down, the nation fails. But when it's done according to God's plan, Psalm 127, verse 3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." This text is important because it demonstrates that parents are partners with God in creation. Children belong to the Lord. Continuing this passage, verse 4, "Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." A very positive thing. Discipline, yes, is a necessary tool to bring about good results in child rearing. It's important, but the end result is positive. It is this guidance that creates children that grow up respectful, obedient, and become useful citizens in both the nation and the kingdom of God. Children must be given boundaries, for without them they grow up without restraints, and without restraints they grow up to become criminals. I mean, if not criminals, then at least unrepentant sinners. because they're unable to grasp or submit themselves to the laws of God because they were untrained in it. You know, what feels good, do it. I'm my own person. I'm, you know, what is truth? Truth is what truth is to me. You know, we hear those things. Where does that come from? It comes from untrained children that do not understand obedience, that do not understand honoring their parents. Their parents did not understand their God-given responsibility in this partnership with God to instill that value in them. That's where those ideas and ideologies come from. Because the basics were not done. This is why discipline cannot be withheld. But at the same time, the parent knows that they're having the best interests of the child's future at heart. Not only that, the future of the nation. And not only the nation, but like I said, that's building the kingdom of God. When we talk about building the kingdom of God, it begins in the home. The citizens of that kingdom are being trained in the home. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11 says, "Even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right." The attitude and habits of a child can be seen at an early age and must be watched carefully. We can see into the mind and heart of a child if we watch carefully their deeds. For instance, watch how they behave with other kids. Does an older child take advantage of the younger one? Or does he help them because they're smaller? There's insight into what you need to work on with that child. When posed with a problem or frustrating situation, do they get angry and lash out? If so, there's some anger issues. You can watch your children and understand what they need, where you're missing the mark. A child is known by his deeds whether what he does is pure and right. What about this issue of rebellion? Are you issuing instructions multiple times in order to get compliance? Well, they probably don't have a hearing problem. They probably have a rebellion problem. And that kind of thing will not be tolerated in the kingdom of God. Discipline must be instilled so that respect for the authority of the parent is fully understood and is responded to the first time. Every time. Remember what I said earlier about picking battles. Because whatever you do, whatever you say, has to be complied with. You do not ever want to issue an instruction that you allow to go uncomplied with. Because that just teaches them that it's okay. So don't issue an instruction unless you're prepared to follow through every time. Listen, undisciplined parents will not create disciplined children and therefore disciplined members of society and the kingdom of God. Parents have a sanctified work that is in partnership with Yahweh the Father. Parenthood is our greatest calling. Parenthood is building the kingdom of God. And it's one of our greatest rewards and joys. Proverbs 23 says, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice." In the church, we talk a lot about building the kingdom. You know, and if you think about it, over the two millennia since Yeshua gave himself on that stake to redeem us. If you would have taken that original set of believers and expanded that out from each one of their families going out, and all of those people had been raised in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, honoring their parents inside a loving environment, the kingdom of God would have by now overshadowed the entire earth. No doubt. You know, the old Amway thing here, you know, if you do two people and they do two people and they do two people, you only go about five levels deep and the board's full. Well, how many levels deep would we be in 2,000 years? It hasn't happened. And it's sad. To sum up, the fifth commandment is not just for kids. It does apply to them. But understand, it is the parents' responsibility to ensure that it happens. Did you get that? Yes, it's for kids. Honor your father and mother. But for small children, it's the parents' job. This is a command to the parents that you are to instill that in them and ensure compliance to it. If you're an adult but not yet a parent, it still applies to you. It applies to your whole life to give honor and respect to those who served you in your youth. But that respect, of course, is to be at minimum that due the office, but from there commensurate with the amount and quality of the service provided. Truly, the fifth commandment is pivotal. With it, obedience is taught, the stage is set for a right relationship with God and right relationships with fellow man, fulfilling both sides of the two great commands that the law hangs on, that sum up the two great precepts within it, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? Amen. Amen.